Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Hollywood, it's rated LGBT Radio, starring your host, Rob Watson!
Good afternoon, good evening, good day, whatever time you are listening to our podcast. We welcome you. You are listening to Rated LGBT Radio, and I am your host, Rob Watson. Today we have another really great show and an exceptional guest lined up for you. Today we will be welcoming Jupiter Ryan Gaines-Godden, who is the founder of a new site called Rabbit Hole. And Rabbit Hole is a wonderful resource for people who are on a transgender journey. It has resources that people on such a journey want to know about, take advantage of, and be educated on, as well as presenting stories of people who've come out. And those stories are represented in a various ways, from brief to in-depth. So we're going to talk to Jupiter and find out the his story, as well as what inspired the development of this incredible resource. And before we do that, though, I'd like to bring on my esteemed colleague and co-host, Brody Levesque, for an update on what's going on in the world. Brody, good afternoon, good evening. How are you doing?
Good evening, good afternoon, good morning to all of our listeners, and I'm doing actually pretty good, Rob, although it has been one of those days on Capitol Hill as the House Judiciary Committee is continuing to debate the articles of impeachment for a final vote for submission to the U.S. House, and the Republicans are extremely unhappy about it, as is the President of the United States, who has been on a Twitter rampage and retweet rampage most of the morning. But what caught most folks' eyes was that the president attacked 16-year-old Greta Thunberg, the environmental activist. And the reasoning for it was yesterday, as you know, Time Magazine named Greta as their person of the year. So apparently the president took exception to that. And at 7:22 a.m. Eastern this morning, he tweets this out. So ridiculous. Greta must work on her anger management problem, then go to a good old-fashioned movie with a friend. Chill, Greta, chill. Which, of course, brought about kind of a Twitter storm. Fred Gutenberg, who is an activist, lost his daughter in a Parkland shooting, replied to the president, the next time you want to call out others for the way they speak to children, including your own son, please remember this tweet from your husband. He was addressing this to the First Lady. You may want to speak to your husband now to let him know that this was not okay. But in a epic trolling turnaround on her Twitter page, Greta, in her bio, wrote the following. A teenager working on her anger management problem, currently chilling and watching a good old-fashioned movie with a friend. So she took the president's critique with a rather large grain of salt and kept going. So congratulations to Greta, and please continue all the good work you're doing on climate change and the environment. And a couple of other items.
Brody, I want to ask you one thing, though. It's kind of an interesting back and forth on this, but the Time Magazine Person of the Year nomenclature, whatever, really wasn't necessarily, and I'm not putting Greta down, but isn't necessarily an achievement or an award. I mean, they have named different people, elements in the past that have really been more things that have stirred up society rather than than be, it's not like the Nobel Peace Prize or something like that. Isn't that correct?
Well, I think that is correct, but again, they put her on the cover, and the fact still remains that at least as far as those of us in my profession can tell, no one has addressed world leaders in such a frank manner as that young lady from Sweden. I would direct you back to her speech before the United Nations, when virtually every executive of every nation was sitting in the audience, and she not only castigated them, but she took them to task, directing a lot of her ire at the fact that her generation is being, you know, more or less screwed out of a potential, you know, happy, fruitful, and long life because of, you know, the environmental crisis. So I think that the Time magazine editors choosing her for her work as an activist and the fact that she, you know, publicly feuds not only just with President Trump but a couple of other world leaders is actually, at least in this journalist's eyes, just as significant as a Nobel Peace Prize.
Right. No. Well, I understood. My point was is that the sort of the way he's taking this, like he's been robbed of some sort of honor, is a little bit odd, because he could have been named Person of the Year, but not because of any great accomplishment. He could have been named that himself for just being notorious.
Well, I agree with you. I just think the major point that I'm making is the president of the United States, okay, abusively bullied and attacked a 16-year-old girl, okay, who does suffer from Asperger's syndrome. She is on the autistic spectrum. But I think more importantly is he attacked a child. You know, the height of hypocrisy here. If you'll remember, we had nothing but a blow up from the First Lady by Professor Fiona Hill. Okay, the national security advisor who, you know, dared invoke the name of Darren Trump during, you know, some testimony in front of the House Judiciary Committee a week or two ago, and the right just lost their collective mind. You know, and Melina just, you know, tweeted out, "How dare you bring my son into it?" and blah blah blah. And this is an attack, and you know, which it wasn't even close to being an attack, but yet here we are in the
right.
United States, okay to bully. You know, and it's like, no.
Absolutely. It was a temper tantrum by an attention seeker, and you know, the hypocrisy is huge. You know, given that the comment about Barron was nothing more than a comment on the meaning of his name. I mean, it was just sort of. You know, a side comment. It was not an attack or comment on the young man himself at all. So very odd. So Brody, I want to move on to what is happening in the publication world of LGBTQ media. What's happening there today?
Well, as I wrote in a Los Angeles Blade piece yesterday that was published, the abrupt departure of Out Magazine's editor-in-chief, Philip Picardi, Wednesday, which he announced on his Twitter page and internally on an email, was followed by a disclosure from other sources that I spoke to, that more senior staff at Pride Media, which owns both Out and the Advocate magazines, were also departing. Late evening, I learned that the Advocate's editor-in-chief, Zach Stafford, was asked to leave, and the CEO of Pride Media, Orlando Reese, resigned. And all of those resignations were effective as of yesterday. Right now, it's a developing story. We're still trying to divine what's going on with the publications. Both Out, The Advocate, and, of course, Pride Media itself are owned by a holding company, which also publishes High Times magazine. The owner, Adam Levin, was interviewed by my colleague, Karen Oakham, the senior editor, news editor at The Blade, about 6 months ago, 7 months ago, when there had been some scuttlebutt and rumors as to, you know, his entire reasoning for purchasing the Advocate and Out. It had been said, and some reporting had been done by Women's Wear Daily, that it was thought that his purchase was a leveraged purchase in case something was to happen that he needed to leverage against to save High Times and its holding company. We also know that his purchase of both the publications and the creation of Pride, they acquired significant debt from Hear Media, including unpaid back salaries to freelancers at Out in a significant amount of money, well over six figures. So it's, again, we're not exactly sure what's happening. We're trying to track it down. And I myself, I'm still working on the story. So at this point, all I can tell you is the staff and folks at both Out and The Advocate are a little shell-shocked today. Both magazines are, you know, without leadership now in terms of the senior editors, which really that kind of hurts. And then, of course, Pride lost its CEO. So we'll have to wait to see where this goes. My hope is that this doesn't accelerate into a position of suddenly are looking at mass staff layoffs and then folding of both publications, as that would be a loss to the LGBTQI community. But there is discussions that may in fact happen. So we'll have to wait and see, Rob.
Right. Terrible. And last but not least, there is a new hotline number that has been approved for use for those in dark places and reaching out for suicidal help. What can you tell us about that?
This is a proposal that was very much lobbied for by the Trevor Project. This is something I'm sure our guests will be very interested in. The Federal Communications Commission today started the process of designating 988 as a new nationwide three-digit number for suicide prevention and mental health crisis hotlines. This designation will ease access to crisis services, and it's going to reduce the stigma surrounding suicide and mental health conditions, and ultimately this is going to save lives. The notice of proposed rulemaking that calls be made to 988 would be directed to the existing National Suicide Prevention Lifeline and in a national network of another 163 crisis centers that is funded by the Department of Health and Human Services. Currently, the lifeline is a 1-800-273-TALK number. And then, of course, through online chats. Now, what this effectively does is this makes it much easier that you can dial 988 from a mobile, from a landline, whatever the case is. And this is going to be, I think, a critical improvement and a major step forward in assisting, particularly when we look at at-risk populations, particularly veterans and the LGBTQI community. There was a report to Congress that was released just this past August. The report looked at the time period 1999 to 2016, and suicide rates increased in 49 of the 50 states, and it was a significant increase. We're talking greater than 20%. So this proposal that the FCC is putting together will go a long way to assisting those who are in crisis.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. Plus, 988 is so much easier to give to somebody, to refer somebody to, than trying to locate the other crisis line long phone numbers. So hopefully this will save lives just because people will be able to connect the dots so much more effectively when they're in a crisis situation. So excellent,
Definitely. Excellent
development. So we're at the point where we want to bring on our esteemed guest. Brody, what can you tell us about Jupiter and the Rabbit Hole Project?
Well, this is an extremely interesting scenario. There was I follow as a trans ally quite a few people on Instagram in the trans community. And one of them sent me a post by Jupiter, and it was basically a letter. And in the letter, Jupiter said, if you're reading this letter, I'm in need of your story, your experience. I have been working on a website for some time now, Rabbit Hole, that will serve as a resource for transgender and non-binary individuals. I'm creating this website in hopes that it will help our community and make their experience less difficult than yours may have been. When it comes to myself, growing up in the middle of the Bible Belt didn't make finding resources and friendly, judgment-free environments any easier. So that struck me, and I immediately reached out to this young man. He's absolutely incredible, very articulate. And one of the reasons that I really liked this was it's a site for the trans folk, by a trans folk, but at the same time, it accomplishes something that our good friends Nathan Mansky from I'm From Driftwood and Charles Chan Massey and Joseph Chan from the Personal Stories Project do, is that here is a way to collect the stories, but in a niche that oftentimes I think gets overlooked in the community. And I like the expression, the rabbit hole, because it's this young man is from that part of the United States where when they're about to take off into the unknown, there's two cliches that Southerners use. Okay, one of which is, yeah, I'm headed down the rabbit hole. And, you know, for a lot of trans people, it really truly is down the rabbit hole. And sometimes it can be very much an Alice in Wonderland, you know, experience at the other end. And I think that this was, it's a critical thing because for many trans folks, and I've talked to, especially the youth, and I've talked to so many of them. We've had them on the show, Rob. We've talked to them. You know, for them, their sense of community oftentimes is, you know, they go to guidance for looking at YouTube videos. Or I remember when we had trans activist Aiden Dolan, Point of Pride, and he talked to us about his efforts as young, you know, as a trans person and then trying to make this work. You know, it's very difficult for them. And so to have a site that is a place where they can go to, you know, where they can have discussions, where they can talk, where they have resources. This is really super critical. And to the best of my knowledge, not even the Transgender Law Center or the National Center for Trans Equality in Washington has ever accomplished this kind of thing. So to have a private individual like Jupiter, who's young, dynamic, and is very well focused, I think what he's done with this is just simply amazing. And, yeah, so I look forward to talking to him more at length and hear what he has to say.
Well, and with that, is exactly what we will do now. I'd like to welcome Jupiter to the program. Jupiter, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure. So, Jupiter, can you back us up a little bit into your own personal story, your own journey, you know, being transgender? How did that start for you?
Well, it's kind of funny because, so I'm 24 years old. I live in Tennessee, so, you know, in the middle of the Bible Belt. But I'm originally from Louisiana, and all growing up, my family just assumed that I was a lesbian. And so pretty much my whole life I struggled with if my issues on, you know, how I was feeling and on the inside were the fact that I was gay. And so pretty much I came out senior year, told them that I liked women, and then I still wasn't satisfied. It just made me angrier as a person. And So I kind of dug a little bit deeper, and you mentioned Aiden earlier, and he was like the main person, Aiden and Miles McKenna, of course, YouTube, that pretty much told me that I was trans. Like it just everything clicked as soon as I came into connection with those guys. I came out to my family as a lesbian, and my mom and my grandmother thought it was the greatest thing because, you know, they told me that they knew before I could even talk that I liked women because of the fact that my grandmother would put bows in my hair and I would get mad at her and like take them instantly out. But they didn't understand that that was gender and not sexuality. So pretty much whenever it came to finding resources and everything, it was pretty difficult because nobody in Tennessee really deals with trans people or non-binary people, which, you know, there's a few of us that are trying to push that a little bit and make it easier on everybody. But pretty much, I met my wife, came out to her, and then she was supportive. I started my transition, and it's been an uphill since. But, of course, you know, there's rabbit holes here and there. But I had this idea to put all of the resources possible that I could find into one place, so the vocabulary for allies and people questioning their genders to be able to find, and then also coming out stories and experiences so that people that are struggling, that are in the rabbit hole, that they know that they can overcome these things because there's others in the community that have, and to also pretty much extend a hand for these people that are willing to share their story, to also put contact information so that if someone really resonates with this story and they're like, man, I really just need some advice, like, then they can contact them. I know that there's been so many times that I've been in this dark place through my transition, and all I could think was, man, if I could just talk to this one person, and, you know, they just seemed very celebrity-like, you know, if that makes sense. So, yeah, the whole concept is just to be able to connect our community more, put the resources out there, put true knowledge that will help us gain more allies, that sort of thing.
And, Javier, what resources were you specifically looking for that you were finding just nothing as you were starting your journey? I mean, what were you reaching out for and going, there's just nothing like this particular thing here? Was it counseling, medical? What were the first ones?
A little bit of it all, honestly. I always assumed that you had to, you know, go to therapy for this long. You had to do this, you had to do that, very, like, by the book. And then I eventually ended up meeting a trans woman here in town at one of the restaurants, and she told me about Planned Parenthood and how great that they are and everything else. But finding a therapist in town is really hard. You pretty much have to travel to, like, the closest city and things like that. But, yeah, it's just pretty much you have to dive in on your own and just drown yourself in information and hope for the best out here. So, yeah.
And what resources have you been able to – yeah, what resources have you been able to pull together? And obviously it's a growing moving target, but what could people expect going on to Rabbit Hole today?
Well, the site hasn't launched just yet. We are working to be able to launch it for March 31st, Transgender Day of Visibility. That is the main goal right now. Right now I'm really looking to try to perfect just, you know, where to shoot for resources to make it as easy as possible for everyone. We've got a few things so far, but I really think the firsthand experiences is what's going to push it over the ledge and really help people and, you know, hopefully save lives and to be able to understand what's going on in their own mind, you know?
Very good. Brody?
Well, I think one of the things that, and Rob, if you'll remember, I did that profile piece on that young country artist, Jamie Wilson, the trans man from, Michigan, who was moved to Florida because of, you know, issues with the family and so forth. And then later, of course, as you know, Jamie was honored by the Matthew Shepard Foundation for his work in activism, getting binders and, you know, talking about tea and, you know, being very open with other trans folk. And, you know, Jamie's story, I think, which resonated with a lot of folks, I think is one of the reasons that Jupiter's story resonated with me. I knew that this was the ground floor. And I really felt that one of the things that at least we could do at Rated LGBT Radio was to give Jupiter a national voice and kind of a push, because we have, you know, as you know, we have a lot of listeners, young trans folks. We have a lot of A-listers that listen to us, people that are movers and shakers. And I think that this is really critically important that we are able to get Jupiter's voice out there, because at the end of the day, in reflection, there's just not a lot of resources. And what happens is becomes kind of a hodgepodge of things. And Jupiter, you and I discussed this the other day when I called you to invite you on the program. We discussed about the fact that, you know, you've got isolated people like Aiden who are, as you put it, celebrities, and rightly so. Jamie, who's also got a massive Instagram following. as T-Guy 6915, I think is how Jamie styles himself. Well, that was the date that he transitioned into being a guy. But I think at the end of the day, and Jupiter, this is something I kind of wanted to focus on, particularly in the southern states and in southern culture. I think that you, what you're gearing for in terms of just oral stories and connections is going to be a critical aspect to the website, will it not be?
Oh, absolutely. I think that, like you said, how Aiden's kind of seen as a celebrity in the trans community, it's not really like he's doing great work and it's not his fault that he can't respond to every single person. So, like he's been a huge inspiration to all of us and, you know, everybody loves him, but there's this like this incapability to be able to like actually speak one-on-one with him. He just doesn't have the time and, you know, and that's something that we're trying to do with this website is that hoping that we can have so many stories and so many people that are openly, out that will speak to someone and, you know, just regular Joes that decide to allow us to put their story on our site so that if somebody really connects and they need questions answered or they need help, then they're not relying on me or Aiden or Miles McKenna or Ty Turner to be able to be that for them. They can find just regular Joes that are, you know, hitting home for them, that sort of thing.
Kind of a sponsored thing then, kind of, Rob, this would be
kind of
familiar to you. It's almost like having a, this is going to be a bad way of putting this. Maybe I shouldn't. I was thinking in terms immediately of AA, where you have a sponsor and everybody talks to everybody.
kind of so.
It's not AA or whatever.
No. Honestly, everybody needs somebody in this world. So if... if that's how it has to go,
it sounds like it's set up almost like transgender themed Facebook in a way. I mean, will people who tell their stories have kind of their own page? Do they get to interact with people, or is it a little more like YouTube?
It's gonna be kind of like. Kind of like a blog in a way, and then at the end of their story, like they can choose to stay anonymous or they can leave their contact information, like their Instagram, Facebook, that sort of thing, so that that person can go and connect with them. But like I said, they can also remain anonymous if they choose to, just because I feel like if you want to tell your story, you should be able to tell your story, and somebody somewhere is going to need that.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. How many people have you kind of lined up so far to tell their story?
Well, I just started asking about 4 days ago. So, so far I have 10 to 12 people that have said that they're working on one. And I've got one guy that's already submitted to me. So that's the main goal right now, is just finding more people that have their story that want to tell it.
Excellent. And ideally, how much depth are you hoping for? I know in everything you've communicated, you've left that very much up to the contributor, but in your heart of hearts, what do you hope they will tell?
Honestly, I'm hoping that they'll dig as deep as they can, because I've heard some incredible stories that I know would hit home for some people, because, you know, people are dealing with violence every day. They're dealing with family, friends, work. You know, I just want people to feel like the stories are really hitting home, you know, and I want people to be able to write these and understand how much they've overcome and their own story, how much they've grown, that sort of thing.
And go ahead, Brody.
No, that's all right. I mean, what I was thinking when he just said that, Rob, was that one of the things I was wondering, Jupiter, are you going to set up, you know, a Facebook page that will direct people into the main website? And the reason I ask that is because, you know, Rob and I are extremely, obviously, well-connected within the community, and we are a national program. There's a lot of people that are going to be listening to this, and they're going to be extremely interested –
in this project of yours. And I do plan on introducing you to both Nathan as well as Charlie, because I think it would really assist you as you go through this. And there's some other people I will be introducing you to that I think will be of great assistance to you at the national level. But are you, to follow up with what Rob's question was, are you going to be able to do like a Facebook page or an Instagram page or some means where people can tell their stories and reach out to you and, you know, communicate with each other besides the website?
Yeah, absolutely. So right now you can pretty much find us at rabbithole.lgbt. That is for our Gmail, our website, which will be coming out March 31st, and then our Instagram. And I'm also working on setting up a Facebook group that you just have to answer like a couple of questions just to be able to get into it, to keep our community safe, but to be able to interact with each other, you know.
Oh, wonderful. Jimmer, one of the things that happens a lot of times, especially around the challenge of being transgender, is that a lot of discussions get trolled. A lot of people have very polarizing opinions, and worse, in presenting those opinions, they tend to be no holds barred, take no prisoners. I am perceiving that the goal of Rabbit Hole is to be very enriching, therapeutic, kind of internally enlightening. How are you going to keep it from becoming an activist hotbed?
How do you mean an activist hotbed?
In other words, if somebody comes on and asks a question that you know, in their, in terms of their own journey and understanding, rubs somebody else the wrong way as being inappropriate or even transphobic in its question. I mean, we've seen it, you know, on the LGBT, on the gay and lesbian side, where you know, there are a lot of gay people whose opinions about being gay, even though they're gay themselves, tend to be homophobic. And in an open forum, you know, a lot of that gets heated.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely, so the website itself, the only way you'll be able to contact people is you'll only be able to contact me directly through email, through the website. And then if you want to contact someone about their story, then you would have to contact them directly. So as far as that goes, that will be from person to person. And as far as like the Facebook group goes, it will be set in stone. There will be rules that you can't use slurs, things like that. You can't pretty much be transphobic or homophobic. And if you are, if you have questions that you feel are inappropriate, ask me directly or an admin directly. And if you have an issue with it, then you get kicked out of the group, basically. Like, there's just no...
Right.
There's not really a nice way to go about that other than to be blunt and stick to rules, you know. I also want it to be
right.
A safe space. The whole point of the website is to be a safe space so that questioning and transgender, non-binary allies, that they can all go there, they can learn, they can find resources, they can read these stories and not feel judgment and feel as if it's a safe space, because it is.
Well, that's wonderful. Are you talking to anybody who is currently serving in the military or close to that to give special focus or unique resources to our armed service personnel who are definitely under legal attack by the government right now?
No, not yet. I would absolutely love to. I've been having a pretty hard time finding people as far as in my area close to Nashville. So if anybody that's listening is a part of that community and would like to help out and get us in the loop on how to give better resources for our military friends, that would be incredible.
I think Brody can actually help you out
with that.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, let's see. Once you and I communicate again off air, Jupiter, I have quite a few people, including Staff Sergeant Logan Ireland, Navy Commander Bryn Tannehill, Army Captain Jennifer Peace. We have quite a few folks in the U.S. Armed Forces who are trans who would be more than happy to probably roll up their sleeves and pitch in. So, yeah.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, no, I am absolutely enthralled and entranced by this project of yours because I see it as a missing link that is going to fulfill something that hasn't been done before. You pointed out a very, very, very valid point that when you have a high profile trans guy or trans woman, sometimes they are no longer approachable just by the mere fact that they have, reached such a level of celebrity that it becomes an impossibility, such as Aiden. And so what ends up happening is that the common person-to-person connection oftentimes gets lost. For a young trans guy or young trans woman, let's say in grammar school or even high school, or maybe even starting in, college or just beginning their life in a vocational area, there's a lot of questions. And when they're in a place like Tennessee or they're in a place like Kentucky or elsewhere, it really becomes a thing of they want to talk to one of their own. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. Please don't take that away. But
absolutely.
They want to be able to, have these types of links and communications with people. And this is why I think your project is so critical, which is why I brought you on the show. I lobbied Rob that we needed to do the show because I really truly believe in what you're trying to accomplish. I am hoping that by coming on Rated LGBT and with the resources that Rob and I have, we're able to give you that voice that extends your reach, because I think one of the things that will be successful is that a young trans guy up in Boise, Idaho, sees Jupiter Ryan's little deal going on in Tennessee and goes, hey, wait a minute, I could ask questions or I could be a part of that. That is very, very critical. And I've got something to tell you on air. I might as well. I spoke with a member of the communications staff who works on Matthew's Place, which is a part of the Matthew Shepard Foundation in Denver, Colorado. And Sarah is willing to talk to you about writing a piece and writing your story and what you're trying to do for Matthew's Place. Matthew's Place is a gathering place for queer and gay and lesbian and trans kids. Of course, it's run by the Matthew Shepard Foundation. And I think it would be also a good starting point for you. So anyway, that's it. Not much of a question in there, I guess. So Rob, I'll give it back to you.
It's perfect. Jupiter, what in your own experience, what are some of the anecdotal times when you were kind of faced with your own transgender dilemma working with others that you wish somebody had been there with you on?
Honestly, as crazy as it sounds, whenever I first came out at work, there was this, which I don't mean this offensively at all, but there was this black gay man of all people at work that gave me the most hell and refused to use the right name, the right pronouns, just all of these things. And it was just an awkward position for the company because they didn't know how to act or how they should reprimand or if they even could, that sort of thing. So it would have just been nice to have other people that have been in that situation and to have advice on how I should go about it instead of just getting mad about it or acting the wrong way about it, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But just things like that. Also in how to be able to apply for new jobs and not be so terrified of discrimination because of the reason that I'm trans, that sort of thing.
And what do you think did you get to get deep on that and find out what his issue was and why his biases came out that way?
I did not. He actually ended up transferring 2 or 3 months later and haven't seen him since, which it worked out really well that that happened, but it just made the first part of transitioning pretty rough.
Yeah, no kidding. And that's actually pretty terrible. It's sad when people who've had to go through some journey on their own don't have the generosity to turn around and extend that to people coming up in their own path. You know, it should be better than that.
I really figured since he was a minority, for already being a minority, that he would understand how difficult the situation would be for other minorities, you know? So.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But
you're turning around individually, and I realize the site itself is doing this, but what if you had an individual young trans person or young person who was having a lot of transgender feelings talk to you, what would you pull them aside and what would be the first piece of advice you would give them?
Honestly, take care of you, whether that means that you take your time, do your research, whether that means you know at the bottom of your heart. Also be aware of your surroundings. So like, just take care of you. Know if it's safe to come out. Know when the right time is to come out. Like, can't stress safety enough when it comes to our trans community. But as far as first-hand advice, definitely take care of you. Your family might come around. They might not. You don't know until life happens. Like, it's our life is too short to stay stuck in this rabbit hole, and it took me 22, 23 years to figure that out before I started my own journey, and it's never too late. So I really think take care of you is the main thing.
That's excellent. Brody?
Jupiter, one of the things that I find interesting is that, you know, at the root of it, and I've spoken to countless trans folk over the years, but it's a very personal journey. And it's one that probably the most critical aspect of this is, in fact, support. Talk to us just a couple minutes about support, because that seems to be at the core issue. If the support is underneath you to carry you through a parachute, if you will, it's just so much easier. But what is the one thing for you personally that was critically important once you actually realized that, hey, I've got to do all these things. I've got to, you know, and I assume, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you had to talk about, you know, the medical aspects, you know, whether or not you're going to do it, hormones, we're going to do with those. Do I wear a binder? Do I talk about top surgery? You know, all these things that are critically important to you as a trans man. What type of things do you look for in terms of support bouncing back and forth, even on mundane, you know, just nut and bolt issues like that?
For me, I found support anywhere I could. I came out to my family early in hopes that, you know, they would come around to it, which, yeah, I've been a year and a half on testosterone, and they're finally, you know, coming around and doing better. My wife was a huge, huge, huge support system for me. Pretty much whenever I came out, she was like, I completely understand, like, let's do this. So she's been a huge help. As far as finding it, I think you have to of course, know if it's safe to come out to that person that you're coming out to, whether it's friends or family. But if you believe this person is open-minded and will be there, like, absolutely come out to them. To ask them, like, whenever I went to pick my name, I just got friends and family to start calling me different names. And like, oh, try Brian, try Zach. Like, nothing was clicking. And then finally she started calling me Jupiter, and I was like, oh, that's it, you know? So finding support in things like that, and also, like, joining Facebook groups and forums, and find the good ones. You'll have to weed out the bad ones, which is very unfortunate, and that's what we're trying to fix with Rabbit Hole, absolutely. But find online community if you don't have community at your job or your school or your house. There's different ways to go about it, but the main goal is to do it safely and on your time. Also, that's another thing that you have to understand when it comes to support. If someone's pushing you to come out, that's not being supportive. You have to do this transition on your time. It's the most rewarding and also most mentally draining thing that you can do, and emotionally draining, but it's so rewarding if you do it on your time and you find the right resources for you and the support that you need, whether that's a friend that you find in Alaska or, you know, your best friend since you were two. So that's what I have.
Yeah. Jupiter, one of the groups of people that I've worked with a lot have been parents of fairly young kids who, right from the shoot, are identifying the gender they know themselves to be. And those parents have a lot of dilemma on how to handle that and when, and you know, what the process is when it's not themselves, it's their child who, you know, in all other life decisions is not making big catastrophic decisions for themselves. And so it's a big area where, you know, parents particularly have dilemma and questions and need guidance. Will Rabbit Hole have a place for them, or is this more for people who are more self-sufficient in their lives and at a greater maturity level?
Oh, no. We're shooting to have resources for everyone. Parents are a huge deal. We know that the trans youth really struggles. It's hard to make an adult understand that even though you're, you know, 7 or 12 or 17, that you know what you're feeling on the inside and your gender. So we're hoping to get as many resources for parents even, and it's going to be a resource hub for allies, parents, military folks. If you guys can hook me up, that would be incredible. Also, transgender, you know, non-binary questioning. Just the whole spectrum is what we're trying to hit. And honestly, if you are the minority, even in the trans community, I would love for you to reach out to me so that I can get resources for your community as well. But yeah, we're hoping to really help people understand our community, whether they're just an ally, a parent, or a trans individual themselves.
Right. And how do people reach you? How do people want to be part of this, start signing up and getting on board?
Okay, so pretty much everything that you could think of is going to be rabbithole.lgbt. So our Instagram page, our Gmail, if you want to write a letter or give me resources that you've used or want to get involved in some way, just email rabbithole.lgbt@gmail.com. And then I'm also setting up a Facebook group that you can join. That's going to be rabbithole.lgbt. Just across the board. The website is also going to be rabbithole.lgbt whenever it comes out in March.
And if somebody wanted to financially contribute to help you with the infrastructure, is there a way to do that?
We are working on that currently. It's going to be we're going to do a Facebook fundraiser and also a GoFundMe page. I'm currently working on looking into turning it into a nonprofit. right now the main goal is to get the site launched in March, and then I have a few people that are helping me, you know, do all the forms and paperwork and that sort of thing to turn it into a nonprofit, so that eventually we can turn this into a surgery fund for those in need. That's the big top dog goal. But right now we're shooting to just be able to get it up and going for everyone on Transgender Day of Visibility.
Which
I'll
wonderful.
Keep everything posted
this is
in the group on Facebook and Instagram, that sort of thing. All the social medias will be kept up to date on how you can get involved.
This is a little bit of an odd question because, yeah, obviously this is going to be an incredible resource for people to come on, you know, get insights from people who tell their story, who outline their paths, describe the hardships, how they got through, give kind of combined strength and inspiration on a personal level, as well as resources to connect for practical questions, practical ways of developing the path, developing, you know, finding medical resources, et cetera, et cetera. We deal with a lot of people who are very artistic and express a lot of the transgender feeling and emotion and everything else through art, poems, writing, et cetera, et cetera. Will there be sort of an aesthetic, artistic place for those people as part of Rabbit Hole?
If there are people that want it, then we will make it happen, absolutely. If there are any artists that have some stuff they want to submit to the website, they can send it over to the rabbithole.lgbt@gmail.com, and we will make it happen. I would absolutely love to hit every corner of this community that we can, so that anyone that comes to the site questioning or needing resources can find them.
Perfect. Brody?
I just I think that, again, to our listeners out there, and particularly to our dear friends that I know follow us, you know, please do what you guys can do to assist this young man. I think this is an incredible, incredible thing that he's doing. It's one of the reasons that I took a personal interest in this. And I think that, you know, I'll have him repeat the email address again, but I think this is the type of thing where, as a community, we can really help. This has got to be taking this grassroots effort and making it, you know, meaningful. I know that there's a lot of people in our community, a lot of people even in my, you know, profession of being the press, to talk about making a difference. And here's a young man who is making a difference. And he's making a difference in a very difficult part of the country right now, currently, okay, for the trans community in particular, especially trans folks of color. And he's reaching out and he's saying, look, we can do this. We need a resource. We need something where we can come together and we can make things better for everyone. And he is paying it forward. He is making a difference. So I am going to beseech our listeners and anyone within the sound of my voice to please, please, please give this young man a hand. Rob?
And I think that would be a good time, again, Jupiter, if you want to again, repeat the contact information after Brody's heartfelt pitch there of again, how do people get a hold of you and take part in this?
Yeah, absolutely. So pretty much everywhere you can find us is going to be rabbithole.lgbt. That is going to be for our email, which is rabbithole.lgbt@gmail.com. That's where you can submit anything that you think could be beneficial to the website, your letters, your resources, your art, et cetera. Also, there is a Facebook group that we are going to get jump-started, rabbithole.lgbt. That will be a private group that you will just answer a couple of questions and be able to get into. It will be very controlled as far as, you know, no transphobia, homophobia sort of thing, keeping it very clean. Also, the website is going to be rabbithole.lgbt. So it's www.rabbithole.lgbt. That will be released on March 31st, Transgender Day of Visibility. And then our Instagram page is also rabbithole.lgbt.
Wonderful. Jupiter, we are down to our last few minutes here. And this is when I kind of ask our guests our famous question, which is, what have we not asked that we should have asked you about?
So pretty much the only thing that I can think of that we haven't hit on is also if anyone has tips and tricks. That's going to be a fun little page that that gets put on the website that we're working on. Pretty much it's just things that people might not have the ability to do. So like a trans man that, you know, his father isn't supportive, so he's not going to teach him how to shave. So just like tips on how to shave, what to do with acne, you know, tips on fitness, tips on safety and self-defense, just that sort of thing. So I'm really looking to hit all of the odds and ends of, you know, tips and tricks on pretty much being trans and figuring it out on your own, that sort of thing.
And in that regard, are you looking for that input to come only from transgender people, or is there a place where, for example, a cisgender man would give input to a transgender man?
Yeah, we're absolutely open to that. I just want it to be a place, like I know for myself personally, whenever I started shaving, I just kind of went on YouTube and hoped for the best. But yeah, we're open to tips that anyone has across the board. So just things that transgender and non-binary folks that might have a hard time with their family not accepting them and having to go through growing up alone, that sort of thing, like having
right.
to adult alone, essentially. For them to be able to go to this part of the website, and if they need to know how to do something, that hopefully it will be there for them.
Perfect. Perfect. Wonderful. Well, Jupiter, we are thrilled that you joined us today. Thank you for what you're doing. Rabbit Hole, I think, will be very important and mean a lot to a lot of people across the board. So kudos for that. We look forward to the Transgender Day of Visibility and the launch of it. And we will be helping keeping the news out there for you on your behalf. I want to thank Brody for everything you do, for being part of this, and what you do in the world beyond this in terms of being an expert journalist and getting information where it needs to go. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And I want to thank our listeners for listening in and being part of the show. We love you and couldn't do it without you. Brody, any final words from you?
No, I'm good. Just again, you know, guys, let's help Jupiter out here. Let's really make this, you know, a rocket launch for the rabbit hole.
And I want to thank everybody who has listened in. I also want to remind you that besides being here every week, you can listen to Out in Santa Cruz on www.ksco.com. That is available on the internet, and you can hear that Saturday night, 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. Eastern time. And also, please tell your friends, your neighbors, everybody about subscribing to our show here. You can find us on any podcast mechanism on a cell phone. Just do a search for Rated LGBT Radio, and with that you can subscribe, and you will have our shows pushed to you every week, which we hope you do, and we hope you listen, because we will have more incredible guests coming in the future. And with that, we will sign off for today, and thank you for listening. We will be back here again next week.